All right, so we are in this new series that we started last Sunday that we're calling Wildly Different. Wildly Different. Anybody here just met Jesus and you're wildly different ever since that happened? Three people, hallelujah, praise the Lord. All right, second chance, you're semi-mildly, Anybody met Jesus and you're just so glad that you did, amen? Yeah. Oh, wow. Last week, we talked about a couple of disciples on the road to Emmaus and how that they were just, had lost hope and were so discouraged until they met Jesus, and it just turned everything around for them. And today, we're going to look at Thomas. Sometimes we call him Doubting Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, one of the apostles chosen to follow after Jesus, who had a really life-altering encounter with Jesus, and he would be wildly different after that. Let's read the story from John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and I'm going to start at verse 19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Time out. That Sunday evening is talking about Resurrection Sunday. This is the Sunday that Jesus had just risen from the dead, and they are just finding, it was like the red tape on CNN and Fox News and everywhere else. It was, Jesus risen, reports that Jesus is, this is the breaking news stuff. And so they're in the upper room behind locked doors, afraid of the Jewish leaders. Why? Because they just killed Jesus and they're thinking they're going to come after us next. When suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Now, skipping down to verse 24. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. He missed it. Have you ever just missed it, And somebody said, "You should have been there. It was awesome." Have you ever heard about a church service? And it was like, "Oh man, you should have been there. It was like God showed up." That's why they're telling Thomas. They're like, "Oh, you should have been there. Jesus showed up." And he's like, "Yeah, I heard that before." He's like, "No, really? Jesus showed up." So Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the other disciples when Jesus came. So they told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand in the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again. And this time, Thomas was with them. He's like, "Dude, I ain't missing it. If Jesus shows up again, I'm not going to miss it. I'm going to be there." And so Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, just like before, the week earlier. But suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Same words. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." Let me just pause there. Anybody here who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, but you haven't actually seen him face to face in person? Anybody here that believes that? This is talking about you. You are blessed today. This is what Jesus is saying about you today. Then John goes on. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Now, last week we talked a bit about the struggle that the disciples were having to believe this breaking news that Jesus is actually risen from the dead. Jesus had prophesied that he was going to rise from the dead, but somehow it just didn't click, and they just really didn't see it. They had seen Jesus raise other people from the dead, but they never seen somebody just rise from the dead all by themselves. And so this is just kind of like, never seen anything like this before, don't know what to do with it, and they're struggling. And it took several appearances of Jesus coming to the disciples. One group here, one group there. Took a couple of meals before they began to really begin to accept and put their stories together and go, yeah, this really is Jesus. And they begin to realize not only has Jesus risen from the dead, but because he has risen from the dead, life is going to be wildly different. It was hard for everybody to accept this resurrection story. And that included Thomas that we read about here in this story. Not because he's less spiritual than the rest. Sometimes I think we give Thomas a bad rap. Thomas is not less spiritual than all the other guys that were in the room. It's just that for whatever reason, he wasn't there when Jesus showed up the first time. He's not had the experience with Christ that the rest of these guys have had. And he's kind of saying to himself, you know, man, this is hard to take. You guys are telling me something that you saw, that you've experienced. And basically if you listen to what Thomas's words are, he says, unless I see, unless I touch. What he's basically saying is, I'm going to need the same kind of a revelation of Jesus that you've already had. I need that level of a revelation of Jesus. That's what he's asking for. And it's not like that Thomas doubts forever. I mean, how many of you have had a couple of days in your life where your faith wavered just a little bit? I mean, for Thomas, the truth is, he's only got about an eight-day period here where he's kind of walking through this, I'm not so sure. And again, let's just be real. Put yourself in Thomas's shoes. Who's telling you that they've just seen Jesus risen from the dead? The disciples, right? Like one of the disciples was Judas that he had just seen 2 days earlier, like walk out on Jesus and betray him. And he's like, man, I didn't see that coming. You mean you want me to believe you guys? And then he's looking over at Peter. And Peter's like, and Peter, you aren't no better. I mean, you denied him 3 times, said you're going to die for him and all that. And next thing you know, you turn into went back to your old cussing sailor ways again. So am I really going to believe you? Come on, guys, give me the benefit of the doubt here. I mean, some of you, if you told somebody something, they kind of look at you like, I'm not so sure. I may have to see that for myself. And so because of that moment where Thomas, now here's what I believe. I believe Thomas is like, I don't want anybody buffaloing me. This is too important. I got to know that I know that I know that I know. I can't have your experience. I got to have my experience. It's just too important. And that's really what Thomas is saying here. Now we've kind of given him a bad rap as a church. We called him Doubting Thomas, right? How many of you heard him called Doubting Thomas? You know, I kind of want to defend the guy. Maybe it's because my name is Thomas. And from time to time in my life, when I've had a few of those wishy-washy moments where I'm like, you're going to have to prove it to me. And somebody called me Doubting Thomas, and I'm just like, but hey, come on, let's be real here. That's not fair. How many of you want to be judged for the worst moment of your life? Yep. No hands. Nobody wants to be remembered for that mistake that you made. How many of you have ever been to a high school reunion or a college reunion, and you're getting together with your buddies and you're kind of catching up, and all of a sudden say, oh, don't you remember that time when you did? And you're just kind of like, oh, I'm never going to live that down, am I? Never going to live that down. You know, I think there's those moments in our life where we'd like a mulligan. We'd like a do-over. We'd like to just kind of back up the tape, erase it, and go for it in a different way, but we really don't get that opportunity. But here's what I do know about life, and that is that it's not permanent. That moment that you had, that decision that you made, that mistake, that failure, that sin, that whatever, that does not have to define you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? You see, sometimes we think that life is like a photograph, but life's not really like a photograph. Life's more like a video reel. See, a photograph can be deceptive because a photo captures a moment in time. It captures it very, very clearly. It captures it honestly. But sometimes if you don't know everything else, you might think that that photo, that moment in time, is the one sustaining thing that's going on here when it really isn't. Let me see if I can help you with that. I'm going to put a picture up on the board. My son-in-law is a photographer, and he went to a driller's game, and this is not his picture, but he took a picture that was so close to this, and I sent it to the guys, and I said, can you put this up on the screen for me? And they said, yeah, the picture that you sent to us, it was came from Facebook, and by the time it goes through all the processes, it's, you know, it's kind of weakened down image, and it's not going to look good on the screen. So, Brendan, I apologize to you, sir. This is not your photo, but anyhow, it's one like, I mean, his is better than this, actually. But look at this moment in time when gravity stopped. This is the moment that gravity stopped. Look at that ball just hanging in midair. Pretty cool, ain't it? I mean, it just gravity stopped at that moment. And then this guy is forever frozen. Well, whatever. I can't do it. I'd pretzel and fall, wouldn't I? But, you know, this guy's, I mean, he's stuck like that forever with that look on his face. You see, we know what's really going on here because we've seen baseball. We know what this moment in time illustrates. But if you had an alien that came from a different planet that just shows up and he's never seen baseball before and he sees this image, he's like, oh, everybody stands around on one foot on this planet? Oh, balls just hanging midair on this planet? And all of a sudden we realize that this moment in time does not really accurately represent all of the truth, does it? There's a point that I'm making here. Stay with me. If that was a video that we were watching, you would see the whole thing. You'd see everything before. In fact, you know, is that ball coming at him and he's just ducking out of the way? Is that what's going on? No. If we had the video, we could see the whole thing. We would know everything that's going on. We would understand the big picture. This moment in time belies the truth. And here's what I want to say that I know about some of you. You've had those moments in your time like Thomas had that moment in time where because of his anger and his grief and his doubts and all of the other stuff, he said, no, guys, I'm not going to believe you until I see it for myself. I've got to touch. I've got to feel. I've got to have that personal experience. And we have sometimes taken Thomas and turned him into this guy that I don't really think that the Bible intended for us to see him. In fact, instead of calling him Doubting Thomas, let me go back. Let me pick up another scripture. You know, we don't know as much about Thomas as we know about maybe some of the other disciples, but just stay with me, because I want you to catch a little bit. I want you to get to know Thomas a little bit better. Before we judge him, let's get to know him just a little bit better. So we first, we know that he's named among the disciples, but the first time we really see him in action, the first time we really hear him speak in the Bible and we get to kind of know what's inside of his heart comes in John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, it's the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And if you know anything about that story, Jesus is not there close by. He's somewhere else doing some evangelistic work with the disciples when the messenger comes from Mary and Martha, Lazarus' brother, saying, hey, would you come? Our brother, the one that you love, he's sick. And we know you're a miracle worker. We know you're a healer. If you just get here and lay hands on him, pray for him, he's going to be okay. Jesus stays where he is several more days. And finally, the word comes that Lazarus is dead. And Jesus says, well, let's go to Judea. And you're like, now? Like, why now? But it wasn't just why now, because he's already dead. The disciples, look at verse 8 in John chapter 11. This is the disciples as a group. Their response to let's go to Judea is, but his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? I mean, come on. If you were one of the disciples, you might have said the same thing, because you're like, dude, if I'm in your entourage and they start stoning you, they might miss and hit me, right? And so they're like scared, they're afraid. It's not a good thing. They tried to kill us the last time we were there. We got out alive. You really sure you want to go back? But then jump down to verse 16, that same story, and listen to what Thomas says. Thomas, same Thomas we're talking about, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too and die with Jesus. Do you hear what he's saying? He said, man, if Jesus says that's what we're supposed to do, then that's what we're supposed to do. And guys, if Jesus is going, I'm going because, man, I'm sold out. I believe this guy. I believe everything that he said. You know, I'm willing to do whatever he asks us to do. And if Jesus is going there, and if they kill Jesus, and they kill us too, and we die, then, hey, it's all going to be okay. I love him that much. Why don't we call Thomas Courageous Thomas? Why don't we call him Bold Thomas? You know, because that's really who he was. Now, we catch another glimpse of Thomas over in John chapter 14. This is in the upper room just before the same night that they did the communion like we did earlier in our church service. John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus is speaking. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. And then Thomas speaks up. Listen to this. No, we don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way? You ever been the guy in the room that raised their hand to ask the question, and you're like, man, this is going to be dumb, but I got to do it anyhow? Yeah, put your hand down. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah, because we've all done that, right? We've all been the guy in the room that at some point we raise our hand, and then we're like, man, I'm going to be so embarrassed. The teacher's just going to mock me or laugh at me, or everybody else is. But you just had to know. You just had to know. You're willing to risk the embarrassment? You're willing to risk the possibility you're going to get mocked or laughed at? You just got to know. You're willing to risk the rebuke? Because you just got to know. That's Thomas. And I bet every other disciple in the room, they didn't have a clue what Jesus was talking about either. They were just as confused as Thomas was. But they're just sitting there like, well, yeah, we get it. Yeah, yeah, right. No, you don't get it. But Thomas asked the question, they're going, God, Thomas asked, so I didn't have to. But this is Thomas. Thomas, this guy that's pursuing the truth, this guy that says, I gotta know. This guy that says, it doesn't matter if I get embarrassed or not. It doesn't matter if people laugh at me. It doesn't matter if I get rebuked or not, because I've seen Peter get rebuked. So if I get rebuked, I won't be the first one. Thomas is like, but I've got to know the truth. I want to understand. This is too important to just pretend like I know if I don't really know. Jesus, slow down and give me a better answer. And aren't you glad that Thomas asked that question? Because then Jesus gives this great answer that we've been quoting forever and ever, ever since then. When Jesus says, you want to know the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. We only know that today because Thomas was willing to ask the question. So why don't we call Thomas the truth seeker Thomas? Instead of just doubting Thomas. And then, after this encounter with Jesus that Thomas has, the church is going to be established and it's going to grow, and they're going to start going out and planting churches all over the known world to that point. We read about that in some of basically the book of Acts, where we see what Paul and Peter and some of those guys did. They had the name, and it was spread where they were going and what they were doing. But while they were doing that, Thomas was doing something as well. You see, we don't read about it in the Bible, but secular history tells us a lot about Thomas's life after the death of Jesus. Thomas would go on to be a missionary to India. We got a missionary to India in the room over here. Yeah. Kind of a tough place to do missions work, wouldn't you say? Kind of a dark place, a hard place. Even today to do missions work. Can you imagine if you were the first person bringing the gospel into India, what that would have been like for Thomas? Don't you tell me that this guy was a coward or that he was a doubter. I want to tell you, this guy was bold and brave and strong. He knew what he believed, and he believed what he knew, and he was willing to die for it, and he did. He was actually martyred 20 years into his missionary journeys into India. Somebody thrust a spear to him, and he died on the tip of a spear because he believed. What I'm telling you is, don't believe the photograph. The photo's lying to you. Don't believe that moment in time where he says, I won't believe unless. Don't you dare call him Doubting Thomas, because he's not Doubting Thomas. He is the guy who says, I got to know. I want to experience it. I want to know it for myself. And I want you to see what happens when that encounter happens in that second day, 13 days later. So, I mean, not 13 days, 8 days later, when they meet in the room again, and this time Thomas is there. And if you follow the story along with me, I won't take the time to read it all over to you again. But Jesus showed up the same way that he had before. The doors are locked, and there's Jesus in the room. I don't know how he got there. He just got there. That supernatural resurrected body of his could do some things that you and I just can't do. And so here's Jesus in the room. And he says the same words that he had said the first time, peace be with you. And this time he looks to Thomas. He doesn't, it's almost like it's just Jesus and Thomas in the room all by themselves. It's like nobody else is there. I mean, the other disciples, they're there, but it's like they're not. And Jesus looks at Thomas, and he said, Thomas, take a look. Here's the nail prints in my hands. You can touch it if you need to. Thomas, here's a wound in my side. You can put your hand there if you need to. Something happened right at that moment, and Thomas... The Bible doesn't say that Thomas ever touched Jesus' print in his hand. It doesn't say that he ever put his hand in his side. Because you see, Thomas really didn't need to put his hand somewhere or his finger somewhere. What he needed was a real encounter with the resurrected Jesus. The real encounter with the resurrected Jesus was going to change everything for him, and he would be wildly different. I want you to see a couple of real quick things, and I got to close here, but I want you to understand what's going on in this room at this moment, was what was going on in that room at that moment. Jesus showed up for Thomas. Jesus shows up for Thomas. I don't know how. Well, I do know how. Nobody told Jesus, hey, Thomas, don't believe. Thomas said he's got to put his finger here, put his hand here. Nobody told Jesus. Nobody tattletaled on Thomas. Jesus just knew. The same way he knows you. And he knows what's going on in your life. Jesus showed up to meet the need in Thomas's life because he cared about him, because he loved him. And I want to tell you that in the same way that it was like there was nobody else in the room, it was like me and Jesus all by ourselves, me and Thomas and Jesus all by themselves in the room in that moment when there was this encounter. I want to tell you, Jesus is here for you today in that same way. And I don't know what your need is, but Jesus does. He knows what your doubts are. He knows what your fears are. He knows what you wrestle with. He knows the decision that you're trying to make. He knows. And he cares about you. And he shows up so that you can have an encounter with him that can turn your life around and make you wildly different. Amen. Father, thank you that you love us that way. Thank you that you love us that way. That you're here for us as individuals because you care about us. And I thank you, Lord, because life is not a snapshot. It's a video. And it's not about that one day in our life. It's not about that one bad choice in our life. It's not about that one moment of failure in our life. It's not about that one time where we were weak. That's not what defines us. What defines us, what makes us wildly different, is that encounter with a resurrected Jesus. My prayer, Lord, is that everyone in this room today would have an encounter with you. It's going to be so real, so extraordinary, Lord, that It removes all the doubts and all the fears and restores hope. It lets us know that you care and you love us. Here's what I know. In this room today, there's all kinds of people. We come at this moment in time having traveled many different paths through life. You come from different age groups, different religious backgrounds, different understandings. There's some folks in this room today, you've been serving the Lord, how do we say it, all my life? As long as you can remember from the time you were a kid, you were raised in the church and accepted Jesus at a young age, and you've been serving Jesus all your life. Not many doubts really left. Some of you, on the other hand, you're pretty new in this walk with Jesus. It's not been long ago, maybe just a couple of weeks ago, maybe just the last couple of months. Here's what I know. Faith and doubt. Faith and doubt. A lot of times what happens is we come to Jesus with a lot of doubts and just a little bit of faith. A lot of doubts, just a little bit of faith. But here's what I know. Every encounter that we have with Jesus, every moment in time where we put him to the test and he begins to do things, we begin to grow and to grow and to grow, and our faith begins to grow. And our doubts begin to diminish. And we get more and more following Jesus longer and longer and longer and longer until one day our faith is way up here and our doubts are way down here. Because life's not a photograph. It's a video. And we're growing. And some of you are at different levels in that place in your growth in the Lord. Some of us, our doubts aren't so much that we doubt what God can do or will do. It's our doubts are about ourselves. As you know, that Tommy, he's let me down a couple of times. That Tommy, he said some things that I didn't think he would ever say. He did some things that I never thought that he would ever do. Even after he became a Christian, he said some things, did some things. Maybe it's not that you don't believe what God can do. You're just not so sure what you can do. Let me offer you some hope today. You just die to yourself. Let Christ live in you. And he'll do it through you. You don't have to trust that old guy. Because he will let you down. But Jesus won't. Here's what I know. There may be some people in this room today, or maybe there's somebody that's watching online right now. And you're just still in the seeking mode. You're still trying to figure it out mode. And you can really appreciate the fact that Thomas was asking some questions. Thomas was saying, I don't want to just trust what other people have said. I need to experience it for myself. You're in the right place. You belong here, Spirit Life Church. Come with your questions. Come with your uncertainties. Come with your doubts. Because here's what I believe. I believe there's some wonderful people here who know Jesus. And I believe if you hang around us long enough, and you hear the Word of God long enough, and you come to services like this long enough, I believe you will encounter the resurrected Jesus. And he's the one that's going to transform your life. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, all the persuasion that they had, they couldn't convince Thomas. One moment in the presence of Jesus changed everything. So I want to ask this morning, in this place, is there anybody who would say, you know, the Holy Spirit has showed up, and he is speaking to my heart, and I am convinced that he really is the Christ. I want you to see something that Thomas did, and I'm closing here. Thomas' response to look and see. Thomas's response to the resurrected Jesus. He said five words. My Lord and my God. But those were five powerful words. It's close to what John wrote there when he says these things are written so that you may believe and continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. It's close to that, but it's not exactly that. It's close to what Peter would say in Matthew chapter 16, where Peter would say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's close to that. What Thomas says is even better, because he doesn't just say, "You are the Lord, you are the God." He said, "You are my Lord. You are my God." And in a moment of confession, he makes Jesus the Lord of his life. Some of you have believed that Jesus is the Lord. You believe that he is God, but you've not yet surrendered and confessed him and said, "You are my Lord and my God." And I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. If there's anybody in this place today or anybody that's watching online and you need to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior today, would you raise your hand, because I want to pray for you. Thank you. Is there another? You would raise your hand saying, "I know that I need to experience Jesus Christ in a way that I never have." Thank you. I see your hand lifted. Anybody else? Anybody else? Why the Holy Spirit? It's not why you're listening to the words of Pastor Tommy today. It's why the Holy Spirit is revealing himself personally to you, that you need to accept him and make him Lord. The response is to repent, to confess, to believe. Anybody else in this place, you need to make that decision. I want to give just one more appeal. All right, there's been several that have raised their hands, and maybe some that are watching online. Here's what I want us to do. All over this room, would you just pray this prayer out loud with me? I heard somebody say recently, "Why don't you invite everybody to come down to the front?" Well, confessing Jesus is a public thing, but receiving Jesus, sometimes that's a private thing. I want to make so much of a public confession after you receive Christ. But I want to give you a chance to just make Jesus the Lord of your life right now by just praying this simple prayer. Dear Jesus, come on, everybody pray this prayer out loud with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and paying the penalty for my sin. I confess that I'm a sinner. I am lost without you. But I believe today that you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. And I make the choice to follow you. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. Give me that new life that is found only in you. Help me now to live for you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I now confess that I'm a born-again believer. I'm a Christian. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Amen? Come on, church, celebrate. On our prayer team, if you'll come and join me down at the front, the Lord knows you today, and he knows what you need today, and we just want to stand with you in agreement. We're a family here. So prayer team, come on down and join me here at the front. And here's what I want to ask you to do. We're going to dismiss the service, and I want to ask you to do two things. If you need prayer for anything in your life, I want to invite you to come down, and the prayer team is here to stand with you, to pray with you, to agree with you, to love on you. We're a family of God. We're going to do that together. Here's the second thing I want to ask. If you made the decision to follow Jesus, I want you to come forward and meet us here and just tell us what the Lord does. Make that public profession. And we want to give you some material that's going to help you to grow in your walk and in your relationship with the Lord. And then I would encourage you to jump into our Spirit Life Institute. We're in Discipleship 101. We're just enjoying it over there on a Wednesday night. Everybody's welcome to come. That's Wednesday at 6:30. And if you're a first-time guest, thanks again for coming. Drop by Guest Central. We'd love to meet you. Would you join me in prayer? Father, Lord, we love you today. Thank you, God, for this word. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you meet us where we are. Thank you that life's not a photograph, it's a video. Thank you that we get the chance to change. And the one that we used to be is not necessarily the one that we are today. Thank you, Lord, for every life transformation represented in this room. Thank you for everyone that is wildly different because we've met the resurrected Jesus. Thank you for those who received Christ today. Help them to walk and to grow in you. Help us all to just keep growing in our faith, becoming more and more like Jesus. And Father, we give you the praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you, Spirit Life Church. We love you.